Today's shiur will be beginning from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Omed Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra. We highly recommend printing out the Daf Gemara before beginning the shiur. Last time we left off in a bit of a dilemma in trying to identify the background of Pinchas, the grandson of Aharon. We saw Pinchas as being associated with Benos Putiel, namely, the pasuk that was found toward the bottom of Kuf Tes Amud Beis said that the father of Pinchas, Ve'elozer, ben Aharon lo kach lo mi Benos Putiel lo li'isha. And the word Putiel is being darshaned as a reference to Yosef, who was Mefatet Yitzro, or as a reference to Yisro, who was Mefaten Agolim Lavoyda Zara. The Gemara here at the top of Kuf Yud Omed Aleph says, Ella, I avua di ime mi Yosef, ima di ime mi Yisro. I avua diime mi Yisro, ime diime mi Yosef. Either way, he, Pinchas, is a descendant of both Yosef and Yisro. And as the Gemara just said, if his mother's father was from Yosef, so his mother's mother was from Yisro. And if his mother's father was from Yisro, so his mother's mother is from Yosef. Daiko Nami, by careful reading, we can also see that the origin of Pinchas is in fact from both. Dechtiv mi bnos putiel, the yud being emphasized in the name. Tarti mashma, the yud creates a multiple effect. Namely, Putiel has a double meaning. Mefat peit b'yitzro and mefate magolim l'avoyda zara. As far as the issue that started this discussion is concerned, namely, from Pinchas we see the concept that Rabbi Elozer introduced of le'olam yidbak odom b'toivim, and we contrasted Pinchas and his ancestry with Yehoinosan, grandson of Moshe, and his ancestry, the issue resurfaces. How could it be that Pinchas is said to have more positive ancestry when in fact he too, just like Yehoinosan, is a descendant from Yisro? So the Rashbam answers that, albeit Pinchas is descendant from Yisro, but his association with Yisro is more distant than Yehoinosan's association with Yisro. The Gemara continues with a new topic heading. On the outside margin we see the Nosei, and it says, HaNosei Isha Tzorech Shivdok Be'achea, that when one chooses a mate, when one marries a woman, he is advised to check out the nature of her brothers. Omar Rava, Hanoise Isha Tzorech Shivdoik Be'acheha, Shenemar Vayikach Aharon Es Elisheva Bas Aminodov Achois Nachshoin. From this pasuk we see the principle that Rava just suggested, namely, check out the brothers. How do we see that? Mimashma shenemer bas aminodov, eini yodea sh'achois nachshon hi. If the pasuk would have, or as the pasuk says, that Elisheva was bas aminodov, don't I know on my own that she is the sister of Nachshon? Because we know independently that there was a gentleman known as Nachshon ben Aminodov, the Nosi of Shevet Yehuda. Ma Talmud Lomar Achois Nachshon. Why is it necessary for the Pasuk to add this information that she was the sister of Nachshon? Mikan, from here we see Shanoi Seisha Tzorech Sheyivdoik Be'acheha. This pasuk that was referring to the marriage of Aharon to his wife Elisheva and referred to her as the sister of Nachshon shows us that one should scrutinize one's future wife's brothers. Tana, Roiv Bonim Doimin Lachei Ha'im. This is a Tanaic source that serves as the basis of the idea expressed by Rava that one's wife's brothers ought to be checked out before marrying her. Because one's children, Rov, the majority of one's sons, will have characteristics similar to one's wife's brothers. The Gemara continues with more on the topic of Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. This is what we've indicated in our topic heading. In the outside margin, Oid bin yonechto shel Moshe Rabbeinu, v'eichu igia l'shores avoida zora. More about Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson and how he came to serving avoida zora. One thing we might add on an editorial level, and that is the greatest of our people, by no question, Moshe Rabbeinu, the only human being to ever be described as speaking directly with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, had a very questionable grandson. One is supposed to see from this that the main aspect of a person in his relationship to the Kodesh Baruch Hu is of a personal nature. What happens with one's family, one tries his best, but one is not always in control of the results. One has to daven for those results, and when things don't work out, so it is. But the main thing to be aware of all the time is to improve oneself as much as possible, as best as possible, and to always grow and grow in one's personal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The greatest of our people had children that were a bit short of their parents. Avraham Avinu had a Yishmael. Yitzchak had an Esav. And here we see Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson being a servant or a service individual to an avodah zara. So the Gemara continues with more on the topic of Yehoinosan ben Gershom. Vayasuru shom vayomru lo. The men drew unto him to Yehoinosan and they said to him, Mi heviacho haloim, uma ato oise boze, uma licho poi. In general, they were asking him, what are you doing over here? The Gemara elaborates now, and we've indicated on the side of the Gemara text, the left-hand side, between the Gemara and the Tosfos, a long expression. We refer to this as omru lo, simply an indication of the beginning of the expression here. Omru lo, and we're going to analyze what they said. You'll notice the double underline marking used to indicate a series of inquiries that they posed to Yehoinosan. Number one, Lav mi Moshe ka'osis, are you not a descendant from Moshe dichtiv be al tikrav haloim? We've dashed underline this word, which was a posuk in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu and the burning bush, halom, which was the same expression that they used in addressing Yehoinosan. Secondly, Lav mi Moshe ka'osis dechtiv be ma ze biodecha. Notice the word ma here, and likewise in the original pasuk with Yehoinasan. Number three, Lav mi Moshe ka'osis, are you not a descendant of Moshe dechtiv be v'ata poi amoi nimadi? And notice we've dashed underlined poi, which also appeared in the original pasuk. And they ask, Ta'aseh koyein la'avodah zarah, you who came from Moshe Rabbeinu should become a priest to an avodah zarah. How can you explain your behavior? Omar lohen, so Yehoinasan, grandson of Moshe, says back, Kach mikublani mi beis avi abo, thus I have a tradition from my grandfather. Le'olam yaskir odom atzmoi le'avoido zoro. V'al yitzdorech le'brios. Better for a person to hire himself out to an avoda zoro rather than be dependent on handouts. The Rashbam adds that when he says one should hire himself out to an avoda zara, but he at the same time must be careful that he shouldn't really believe in it. In other words, working for it is okay, as long as you don't believe in it. And working for it, in fact, is preferable to being one who is dependent on other people. However, he's making a mistake. V'hu sovar la'avoda zara mamish. He thought that the accepted teaching from his grandfather was better to hire yourself out to an idol mamish, to an actual idolatrous institution. V'lohi, that was never intended. Elo, the expression avoda zara means avoda shezara loy, a profession or a preoccupation that's strange to him. Namely, a person may be trained as a lawyer and he finds himself working as a sanitation engineer. That would be an example of avoda shezara lo. So what we're saying is that better to work in a field that you're not cut out for, that you're not attracted to, that you're not trained for, better to do that than to be dependent on people. Kidomar le Rav, the Rav Kahana. As Rav instructed his student, Rav Kahana, Netoish Nevelta Beshuka Ushkol Agra. As far as I'm concerned, he says, you ought to skin animal bodies in public and get paid for it. Velotemo Gavro Rabo Ano Vazilo Bimilsa. And not say, well, I'm an important individual and it's beneath my dignity. The message being that any form of legitimate income is acceptable. And one cannot hold his nose up high in the air and say, it's beneath my dignity. As long as you're doing an honest day's work and getting paid for it, that's fine. The story goes on with regard to Yehoinasan ben Gershom ben Moshe. Kevon shiro David, shemomoin choviv olov biyoser. David HaMelech saw this individual, this Yehoinasan, and saw that he was very fond of money. As you can see, he was willing to hire himself out to serve as a priest to an idolatrous institution just to get paid. So David picked up on it that he treasures money. Minehu al ha'itzaros. David HaMelech appointed him to be his minister of finance. Shenemar, Ushvuel ben Gershoim ben Menashe Nogid al Ha'oitzorois. It says that Shvuel was the minister of his treasury. V'chi Shvuel shmo v'alo yohin osun shmoi. Why does the Pasuk refer to the son of Gershom, the son of Menashe, as Shvuel when we know that his name is Yehoinosan? Omer of Yochanan, Sheshov Lekel B'chol Liboi. The word Shvuel, you can see, has the word Shov in it. He returned to the Kodesh Baruch Hu with all his heart. That when David HaMelech gave him an alternative income option, he took it and said, oh, now I can be a full servant of the Kodesh Baruch Hu and make money from a kosher source. V'habonim es ho'av. We say that sons inherit their father. And we also say that sons preempt daughters. Sons of deceased are the first in line of inheritance ahead of the deceased's daughters. Minalan, from where do we know that bonim koidmim lebonos? Dichtiv, ish kiyomus uben ein loi. The pasuk there says that a man, when he dies and he doesn't have a son, then his daughters get the property. Taimo, the reason that the daughter gets the property, the ain loi ben, because the deceased left no son. Ha yesh lo ben, ben kodem. If, however, the deceased left a son, the son would come before. At this point in the Gemara, we're going to take a note. We're going to take note of the comments we've had, we've included on the outside margin, the nosei mivneh. The diamonds that we started with already, and there will be more, Mekuros de ben koidem es habas benachlo. Sources that indicate a son comes before a daughter in inheritance. In addition to that, we're seeing now the volcano shape. This is a ma'akav. We're going to be following the play-by-play with the narrower section pointing upwards, kushya. Rav Popo Matzia Shem Yesh Ben Ubas Shnehem Yurshu Beshove, that if the deceased leaves a son and a daughter, that both of the children will inherit equally. V'lo nomar she ben koidem labas, and not say that the son should preempt the daughter. Let us continue in the Gemara. Omar le Rav Popo Labaye. Emo, let me suggest. I iko ben leirus ben. Iko bas, terus bas. If there's a daughter, so then she would inherit. If she's alone, so she inherits. However, iko ben uvas, we're going to skip momentarily following the brackets. If a person has a son and a daughter, lo hai leirus kulei, velo hai leirus kulei, elo ki hadodi lersu. If one has a male and a female children, so neither one will inherit all, but rather they shall inherit together. That would be the end of his suggestion, namely that we'll advance the idea of equality in inheritance. Before we can go any further, let us go back and read the Gemara, this time including the bracketed section. The note on the inside margin states, "Besoch ha-sograim nimtza loshen deboi tikun." Within this bracketed section, there is language that requires restatement. So the Gemara at the point Gimel was Iko ben ubas, loi hai leirus, velo hai leirus. That if one has a son and a daughter, so let neither one inherit. Well, what kind of suggestion is that? The Eloman Lerus, so who should inherit? Otu bar kasha the masa Lerus, should the local governing authority inherit? Which is preposterous. Hachi ko'amina. This is what was meant to be said. Ika ben ubas, if there is a male and female child, lo hai lerus kule, velo hai lerus kule, elo ki hadodi lirsu. Maybe that should be the aloha, that if there's a son and a daughter, they would inherit equally. Omale, Abaye. So Abaye responds. Ve'itzdirich kro la'ashminan hechodoles le'elochad bro lirsinu l'kulu nichsi. Do you need a posuk to tell me that if there is one child, that that child will inherit everything? No, I don't need a posuk to tell me that. Therefore, at the opening of Rav Popa's suggestion, we find it doesn't even get off the ground. Because Rav Popa was saying that maybe the posuk is telling me that if he has one child, then that child will inherit everything. I don't need a posuk to tell me that. So what is the posuk telling me? It's telling me that if there's a son and a daughter, the son will inherit everything. The Gemara asks, V'dilma ho komash malon. Maybe the point of the posuk, or the chiddush of the posuk, is debas nami bas yerushahi, that a daughter is capable of inheriting, but not to tell me that the son preempts the daughter. The Gemara says, as far as that point is concerned, that a daughter is capable of inheriting, that's learned from another source. Hahu mivachol bas yereshes nachlo nafka. There's another posuk that says, and makes reference to, daughters that inherit. So, that being said, our posuk is used to teach me the halacha, namely the posuk in Bamidbar Chav Zayin, posuk Ches, that Ish Ki Amusu Ben Ein Lo, is telling me that if there's a son, he preempts the daughter. We see another diamond, and as we explained earlier, these are additional sources indicating that idea, namely, that a son preempts a daughter in the line of inheritance. Rav Acho bar Yankiv Omar Mehocha. From here you see that. Lomo yigorashe mavinu mitoch mishpachto ki ein loy ben. This posuk is from the famous parsha of the Benois Tzlavchad, where they say, why should our father not have a share in the land of Israel? Just because he did not have a son. So when looking closely at the pasuk, you see, Taimo de'ein lo ben. The reason they, the daughters of Tzlofchad, are asking for inheritance is simply because he had no son. Ha yesh loy ben, ben kodein. Had he had a male child, the male child would have come first. So from here, we're supposed to see the idea that a son preempts a daughter. The Gemara asks, V'dilma b'noi slafad hu deka'omran hachi. However, nitna Torah v'nizchatsha halacha. Maybe that was their suggestion, that a son preempts a daughter, but the Torah was given subsequently, and when the Parshas Nachlos was given, the Torah was mechadesh, not like they said, but rather, bonim ubonos, daughters and sons shall be equal. So we really can't rely on this posuk, namely the posuk giving over the narrative of the Benaz Slavchad. Elo machvarta kidishonin meikora. Rather, it's more likely to learn, like we did initially, from the pasuk of Ish ki yomus uven ein loy. Number three, Ravina Omar mehocha. From the following, we will see that a son comes before a daughter. Hakoroiv elov. Hakoroiv koroiv koidem. The closer the one is, he comes earlier in the line of inheritance. And we're going to assume that the son is the closer. The Gemara asks a long question. This information, though, will be of a repetitive nature. Umay kurva deben mibas. What is it that leads you to think that a son is closer than a daughter? Shekein kom tachas oviv liyado ulistei achuza. Because the son has these two characteristics, namely he does mitzvahs yi'ud. When a father opts not to marry the amo ivriya that he purchased, the son is the one that can exercise that option. And ulistei achuza, that if the father sanctified an inheritance field and he doesn't redeem it, but if his son redeems it, so it will go back to the father in the Yovel year. These two halachas being characteristic of son. Maybe that's what gives the son the advantage over the daughter. Well, if that's what you're basing yourself on, Ye'oda Baslav Bas Ye'odahi. The daughter of an individual is not capable of doing mitzvahs yud. What is mitzvahs yud? It's marrying the girl that the gentleman purchased. Well, how can the daughter of the purchaser marry the amo ivriya, the female servant? So it's not an advantage that the son has over the daughter. It's simply that the daughter isn't capable of doing it to begin with. If she was capable of doing a particular mitzvah and we see that someone else has preeminence, then that would be a sign that they are korov. But she's not even in the running to do the mitzvah. And number two, sedei achuza nami mehai pircha gufahu. The idea that a son has access to redeeming a stei achuza is in fact derived from the very same point that would enable a daughter to redeem that sanctified inheritance field as well. And what is that point? Deha kaimo le latana. The Tana knows klum yesh yibum ela b'mokim she'ein ben. The idea that a son has the rights to redeem the stei achuza, and let us say, and as opposed to an individual's brother, is because the son cancels the brother's advantage or the brother's uniqueness in his mitzvah yibum. But we know that if there's a son, there is no mitzvah yibum. By the very same token, if there is a daughter, there is also no mitzvah yibum. So just like we saw that a son gains his advantage with regard to mitzvahs, for the mitzvah of stei achuza, of redeeming the stei achuza by canceling mitzvahs yibum, the daughter too has that advantage in that she too cancels mitzvahs yibum, giving her the same powers with regard to redeeming the stei achuza. What is it that Ravina therefore said? He said, because of Hakorov Elov, and that a son is closer than the daughter. And what was the son's closeness? Yud and Stei Achuza. But we just saw that that's not something unique to a son. Elo machvarto kideshonin meikara. But it's more likely to learn like we did in approach number one. An alternative suggestion for a source that son preempts daughter can be derived from the following. That you pass on ownership of slaves, in this case, to one's sons that come after them, after the owners. Who gets them? Who inherits them? One's sons. Beneichem v'loy b'noiseichem. Sons and not daughters. So the power of sons is derived from this pasuk, from the use of the word livneichem, from which we infer sons and not daughters. Elomeyato. If that's how you approach sukkim, by looking at the word beneichem, sons, and thereby excluding daughters, what do you do with the following pasuk? Leman yirbu yameichem v'yimei b'neichem. Hachinami b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. The pasuk tells us that one who keeps the mitzvahs will have extended life. And it uses the expression your life and your b'neichem's life. Are you to think that if you keep the mitzvahs your male sons have extended life and not one's daughters? A preposterous suggestion. So it must be that we're not to emphasize the word b'neichem as exclusionary of daughters. The Gemara says, not so. In general, we can learn b'neichem to exclude b'noseichem, but in this particular case of Leman yirbu yameichem, brocha, shiny, when you're dealing with a brocha, with a blessing, then it's different. Then we won't learn b'neichem as exclusive of b'noseichem. The next topic that we will be learning is featured on the outside margin. Achim yorshim ze eze im yesh lahem av mishutaf. Common brothers. Brothers that are common, that have a common father, inherit from one another. Brothers that have a common father, but not brothers who are brothers only by virtue of the fact that they have a common mother. Minolon, from where do we know this? That it's not sufficient for brothers to have a common mother alone to enable them to inherit from one another. Omar Rabbo, Asya Achvo Achvo mi b'nei Yankov. We're going to learn the word Ach in the Parsha of Nachlo from the word Ach, referring to brother, from B'nei Yankiv, from the sons of Yankiv. Ma lahalon, just like in the case of the sons of Yankiv, the term Achim appears. And they are brothers from a common father, not a common mother. Min ha'av v'lo min ha'em. As is well known, Yankiv had 12 sons, but they came from a total of 4 different mothers. And yet they were called Achim because they had a common father. Afkan, so too in the Parsha of Yerusha, where the word Achim appears, we are to understand, Minoav, Alo Minoim, that only when they have a common father can we talk about them inheriting from one another, not when they have a common mother alone. The Gemara asks, V'lomali, what do I need the Gezero Shava of Rabba for? We have another source. Mi mishpachtoi viorash oisa ksiv. Mishpachas av kruya mishpacha, mishpachas eim eino kruya mishpacha. In the Parsha, it says, in the Parsha of Yerusha, the expression "mi mishpachtoi v'yorash osa" appears. And we already established that mishpacha is a reference to father, not mother. So, from the Parsha of Nachla itself, I can see that brothers, if they have a common father, can inherit from one another, but not if they have a common mother. So the Gemara says, in hochinami. This is true, that from mishpachto, I'm mima'it, I exclude brothers from common mother. V'chi itmar de rabo. Rabo's teaching that I have a gzeros shava, achva, achva, to teach me something about brothers from common father. L'inyin yibum itmar. That was stated with regard to the mitzvah of yibum. When is it that we say that a person dies and without leaving children, his brother marries the widow? What kind of brother? A brother that shared a common father, not a common mother. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.